You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services. Every Monday through Friday during the Razorbacks football training camp, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
In my opinion, it was the best practice we've had this camp. The kids, I don't even want to say they fought through the heat, because you didn't even notice that they were struggling through it. We got a lot done. And we did a lot of specifics today, and they did a wonderful job of it.
Arkansas went through the first day in full pads on Thursday. Sam Pittman, the Razorbacks head coach, spoke to us afterward. Today we're going to kind of dig into some of the items that Pittman discussed during his Thursday news conference. We'll also have an analysis of the Razorbacks quarterbacks a little bit later in this episode. I'm Matt Jones, joined as always by Scotty Bordelon of WholeHogSports.com. And today, Dudley Dawson of Hogs Illustrated is with us. Scotty, as you look back at what Sam Pittman said yesterday, and we'll get into some of the injuries and things of that nature that he spoke about, but what were some of the things that stood out to you?
Right before we walked into practice, we're kind of sitting on the steps that lead down to those double glass doors, and we can, you know, we're watching the guys stretch, and Hardworking Man by Brooks and Dunn is coming through the speakers. And I think that, you know, every time Sam Pittman has kind of talked to the media, it feels like since he got hired, he's talked about wanting Arkansas to, you know, become and stay a hardworking kind of blue collar team. And I just think, I don't think that playing Hardworking Man by Brooks and Dunn was by accident. I think it kind of set the tone for day one. And then we got to see a little bit of live action. And, you know, right out of the gate, as soon as we're walking in, you know, KJ Jefferson completes a pass down the seam to Traylon Smith. And I think one of the things that I'm kind of looking for with Traylon Smith is just, you know he can run between the tackles for a guy that his size pretty well. Because he's tough. He's tough to bring down. Like, one guy typically is not going to bring him down, even, you know, at like 5'8", you know, 5'9" on a good day. But I'm looking for him to become a little bit more sure-handed. So I think that could, I mean, you put a guy like him in space matched up against a linebacker, potentially that creates problems for defenses. But a couple of plays later, he drops a pass in the flat. So still a little bit of work to do there. Another thing that stood out was the three transfer defensive linemen. You know, Sam Pittman said, I think at media day, that guys that he pulls from the transfer portal aren't probably going to start for him day one of camp, but if they're pretty good, they'll start. Probably they might start day two. Well, the first full day of pads, those three guys, John Ridgeway, Trey Williams, and Markell Utsi, they've already cracked their way into the two deep on the defensive line. Those guys are going to be, I think, pretty big impact guys.
Hardworking Man says, from my four-wheel drive to my cowboy boots, I owe all to my blue-collar roots. That sounds like Sam Pittman, doesn't it, Dudley?
Sure does. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with being 5'9 on a good day. I've been that for the past 42 years.
Hey, same here, man.
But, yeah, I mean, I think as I look at the season right now, fans have some hope. And I think part of that is because Sam Pittman is just a football guy, and he talks football language. He doesn't use the fancy little left hammer down left lane gimmicks, which you can do when you're winning, but not when you're losing. And I think that's clear, you know, in, you know, the press conferences after the practices, that it's permeated throughout the team and is, you know, still got to translate into wins. But I think it's a mindset that not only works for the team, but works for the fans.
Yeah, there's no gimmicks about Sam Pittman. It is what you see is what you get with him. Let's go back to the injury news that we were able to glean from his news conference yesterday. I guess the big news would be that Levi Draper, the linebacker turned tight end transfer from Oklahoma, he's not going to play football anymore because he re-injured his shoulder in practice last weekend. Sam Pittman said it was on the first day that Draper moved to tight end. They moved him to tight end in the first place because they're having some real number problems at that position. Coylon Jackson's not back from the knee surgery, or not fully back from the knee surgery that he underwent last October. I know that he's going through, you know, some drills, but I know there've been some limitations to what he's been able to do, I think, right, during practice. And then Aaron Outley, the freshman tight end from Little Rock Parkview, still coming back from the meniscus injury. And so now you're all of a sudden you're two tight ends down at a position that wasn't incredibly deep to begin with. They moved Levi Draper there. He gets injured. He's going to take a medical hardship, which means that, you know, basically his football playing career is over. And now they've moved Dominic Johnson, the running back, over into that position. Pittman said that Johnson wasn't in the top three or four of the depth chart at running back. And so they decided to move him at tight end. He was willing to move there. And, you know, he's going to give them another body at that position in practice. And who knows, maybe he'll be able to get on the field more than he would in the running back role. But tight end has been a really interesting position this preseason, because in addition to everything that I just said, Hudson Henry's missed some practice time too.
Yeah, it's been an active spring or an active fall for that position group. And there's been a little bit of obviously give and take there. I mean, you really hate that a guy like Levi Draper, you know, he transferred from Oklahoma. And I think when fans hear transfer from Oklahoma, they're thinking they're going to get a pretty good player. I'm not saying that Levi Draper is not a good player. I don't know if this like really impacts Arkansas all that much, aside from maybe, he's, like I said the other day, like it takes a kind of a special kind of crazy to play linebacker in college football. Like it just kind of does. But, you know, he might just be able to help you on special teams a little bit. I think you feel pretty good about where you are at linebacker. And so that allows you to kind of move a guy like Levi Draper over to tight end, which is pretty thin. I don't know what kind of a tight end he would have been. And maybe Dudley might know. I don't know if he's got any tight end background. But you kind of hate to see that. And I mean, it's just another body that you're down to. That you could potentially throw out there. And I think, you know, when he was fully healthy, looked like a guy that was pretty physical, could run pretty well. But you talked about Aaron Outley. I saw him walking on the field the other day before practice, but I mean, he was just in a jersey, no helmet, wasn't doing anything. They're still kind of finding out. He had a pretty good summer, I think, from what Sam Pittman said, got in better shape. He came in a little bit heavy, but it's a medical staff. Arkansas's medical staff just doesn't feel like super comfortable putting him out there, without worrying about possible re-injury. And I think that kid's got a really bright future. So I think they can probably take their time with him. Because even though Hudson Henry has missed a day, which I think was excused by Sam Pittman, by the way, so it wasn't like he was just gone or injured or anything like that. You know, I think they feel solid about their top two. It's just who is behind those two guys. And, you know, I think right now it might be a guy like Nathan Bax, who, you know, fans may not know a lot about, but I think he's one of those kids that Sam Pittman really likes. So I think he might step in that number three spot.
The tough thing about tight end is that it's such a physical position that, hey, I mean, yeah, you like your top two guys, but the likelihood of them going through a season injury free is pretty low, because there's so much that a tight end does. I mean, they put their body on the line going over the middle, catching passes. And then, you know, they're also putting their lower body, they're getting a lot of strain on their lower body because of the blocking that they're asked to do in this offense. Now, they wanted to go back to Aaron Outley. I know you talked to Brad Boulding, his high school coach at Parkview this summer. I think you might have even talked to Aaron. I'm not quite sure, but where do you think he is in his recovery? It's starting to really look like this is going to be a medical redshirt year for him.
Yeah, well, I talked to both of them a lot since Outley was hurt in his second game of the season, and it was tough on him, and they had to get his mind right in addition to his body right. And you know, they kept talking about it's coming along, feeling great, he's going to have be able to play and all that. But as you get to January, I think January, February, the more I talk to them and their voice, I could hear, well, they're hoping they're not, they don't know. And so I'm not surprised at all, especially after talking to him when spring practice started, that, he's not going to be ready. I mean, even Brad Boulding, his coach at North Little Rock, talked about how it would probably be good for him to, to redshirt a year. And so when I heard that, I was thinking, well, that's probably, you know, it's probably the path they're going to go down. Hate it for the kid. He seems like a really good kid. Back to Levi Draper, though, just wanted to mention a little bit about that. He was a kid who could play all over the field and did in high school. And I feel a little sorry for him because he was, you know, a highly recruited kid. Oklahoma was glad that they signed him, but he goes into a position at Oklahoma where they have fantastic linebackers. So, he never really got to get many snaps there. Comes over here, you know, gets hurt last year. And let's be honest about one thing. If you're in a position and they move you to another one, it's because you weren't going to play at the first position and they're just searching for somebody. So I feel sorry for the kid, but I agree with Scotty that I think it's a blip on the radar screen there. Nathan Backs, somebody is going to have to do a Blake Kern type moment for them to get to where they want. Or I keep wondering if Marcus Henderson, even though he's, you know, listed at second team, on the offensive line there, being at 280, if he hadn't going to find himself as we move throughout camp, playing a little bit more tight end, whether it be on a regular basis or in situational, because, you know, he was out there last year. He's not where they want him to be weight-wise on the offensive line, and he is athletic. So whether he could help you in the passing game, we'd see, but I know he could help you in the running game out there.
I think that there's a good chance that you could see maybe a third tackle on the field in some situations. And so there are some ways that I think that you can work around, potentially the tight end issue that they have. A few more notes from Sam Pittman that came out of his time with us yesterday. One that stood out to me, Scotty, was that Devin Bush is now working out with the second team defense at cornerback. And then I also thought it was interesting when he was ask who were some of the freshmen who were standing out. Not that it was surprising at all, because when we did our wide receiver analysis a few days ago, we mentioned all of these players, but he said 2, 13, and 14 are the players. And those are, Bryce Stevens and Keetron Jackson and Jaden Wilson.
Yeah, just starting with Devin Bush, I think a lot of people, including myself, if I'm being real honest, forget that he kind of flirted with the transfer portal, if I'm not mistaken, but watched him, you know, they went through the live work early in the week, and he was a guy that was running at third team corner. But, you know, I think Sam Pittman's feeling like he's having a pretty good camp. He's been with the threes most of the camp. I think they just wanted to see what he looked like, what he might bring to that position, you know, against a little bit better competition. I mean, first team to second team is, you know, a pretty big difference, I would think. And then 2 and 3, I mean, your twos are going to be, I think, maybe a little bit markedly better than your threes. They just wanted to see what the kid's got. You know, it feels like he's been here a long, long time. I remember that spring game when Chad Morris was here, may have been his first spring game, and Devin Bush grabs a pick and takes it to the house, and you're thinking, man, this Devin Bush kid, he might really be something. And then he just kind of disappeared in a way. So it's kind of good to see him making a little bit of a push there. And then those receivers, I don't think Sam Pittman's lying to you when he's talking about how much he likes those guys. Like Keetron Jackson was the highest rated kid in the recruiting class, according to 24/7 anyway. And Jaden Wilson, I mean, I think the guys have talked about, I think they talked about just his footwork and his speed and his ability to separate, even though he might not be the biggest guy. And Bryce Stevens is a guy that, you know, he's going to be able to help you on special teams probably. Like I would say at this point, he's probably got a spot on that travel roster. Just, I would think, just maybe give you a boost on special teams. But all those guys bring something unique to the table. And Keetron, I keep mentioning this, but he's out of his knee brace now. And just saw a picture, I think, that the Arkansas football Twitter account posted, or maybe it was on their Instagram, but he is, you know, he's head and shoulders above a DB going up to get a ball, a fade ball in the end zone. That's the kind of athleticism that you need to win games in this league. And I think you're going to see a lot of Keetron. You're probably going to see a lot of those other two guys too.
We haven't had a chance to talk to Kendall Briles, the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. We won't have a chance to talk to him for, I think, about another week and a half. But Sam Pittman, when he spoke to us at his news conference yesterday, he did mention some quarterback, basically what's happening in the quarterback room right now. And here are some highlights from what he had to say.
Well, Malik has, obviously he has his abilities, you know, he's very fast and those things. I believe he's throwing the ball a little bit better. That still has to improve, but he's throwing it better. Behind that, you know, it's kind of a toss-up each day. We're doing ones, twos, threes, and then we're doing what we call a combo period. And basically what I told our coaches is kind of your worst nightmare. In other words, that guy, we can't, you know, we can't lose that guy, and let's say that we did. And so we're getting a lot of different quarterback looks, moved up a little bit with depth. But, you know, the three, to be honest with you, I don't know who he is right now. And I'm not saying, you know, a lot of times you say that and you don't have a three. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we've got five guys, you know, we've got three guys in there battling it out, and they all have done well at times. And so we still have a few, 19 left to figure that out. Really, that's not true. We don't have 19 to figure that out. We probably got more like 14 or 13 to figure that out.
Dudley at quarterback, it's KJ Jefferson and then everybody else. I wrote in our Hogs Illustrated football preview that he threw more passes in the Missouri game than everybody else on the team has thrown combined in their college careers. I mean, basically outside of Jefferson, you've got Malik Hornsby, who came in for, a couple of snaps during a game last season. John Stephen Jones had a little bit of experience in 2019, but there's just not a lot there behind KJ Jefferson. And so the expectation is that he's going to have to really be good for them for this team to have a chance.
Absolutely. And I've had a pretty long relationship with KJ and his head coach, Carl Diffie, since I went to watch him play in Sardis, Mississippi. And, I've always thought he had a lot of potential. We saw during the Missouri game that what he could do. You know, I know that there were still a lot of questions because that was his good game, the LSU game, where he had some, we had some moments. But he's also, had struggles with the passing percentage and stuff like that. I feel like he's going to be okay. But until you have a huge body of work, it's just hard to say that's absolutely, what's going to happen. And the thing I would say, and I think you went over it pretty well there, Malik and the other quarterbacks may turn out to be really good quarterbacks, but you talk about lack of experience there on the collegiate level, and it's a lot different than running against a high school defense in Texas than it is against a Nick Saban or any of these other guys who throw out defenses that really make you work and think a lot. So KJ's got to come through. He knows it, but I do think it's his time, and he's to the point now where I think he's going to be okay. Now, one thing I would say is, saw him in the mid-June, and he looked like a Greek god. You look at him at that press conference the other day, looked like a defensive tackle, as you and I have talked about. But, you'd like for him to get that weight off pretty quick because, as he himself says, there's going to be a lot more RPOs, and you can get somewhere faster at 235 than you can 247. This I know.
Malik Hornsby is – I don't think there's much doubt that he's the number two quarterback right now, Scotty, but it doesn't feel like he's locked up that number two spot by any means. Tom Murphy was on here earlier this week. He said he's really been impressed with what he's seen from Cade Renfrow throwing the ball. You got to believe that Lucas Coley has still got a chance to potentially be that number two due to the fact that he came in for spring football and, seemed to hold his own pretty well.
Yeah, Cade Renfrow is an interesting guy because if you just looked at all those quarterbacks and they're throwing routes to receivers on air, he looks like he should contend for the starting job. And then, bullets start kind of flying and you kind of see what a guy's made of. I think Malik is still, I think he's still fairly solidly the number two right now. Sam Pittman got asked about the quarterbacks behind KJ yesterday. And, it's still kind of the same stuff with Malik. I mean, the athletic ability is obviously like it's phenomenal. Like the kid can really, really run. That's not the, like, that's not, I don't think that's ever been the issue. It's just his accuracy. It's the precision. Can you put a ball on the money? Can you fit a ball into a tight window? And saw yesterday during the, when the number twos were on the field, Malik had an opportunity to hit Hudson Henry on kind of a, I think it was about a, Hudson ran about 10 yards and then cut out to the right. And Malik threw it. Malik threw the ball where Hudson began to turn out instead of, you know, out toward the sideline. And it got Hudson hit by two guys, like one from the back, one from the front. That's not great. Like you can't put your guys in danger like that. You've got to be, you know, a little bit sharper with your decision-making. You've got to put balls on the money. And I think Sam Pittman thinks that his, you know, his passing is coming along, but, you know, I remember, I just keep thinking back every time he says that to the spring game, and me and Seth Campbell were charting interceptable passes for all of the quarterbacks. And I think KJ may have had one, maybe. He looked pretty sharp that day. And Lucas Coley, I think, maybe had a couple, but Malik Hornsby had, I think, four or five. And so his, I mean, just keep going back to decision making, he's just got to shore that up. But I still think he's pretty solid at number two. I have been impressed with Lucas Coley. He made a nice pass to a walk on in Chris Harris yesterday for about a 15-yard gain. I think he's a guy that can put balls on the money. It's just another guy that, I mean, he's got even less experience than Malik Hornsby does.
It feels to me like if you're going to have an inexperienced quarterback be starting for you, and KJ Jefferson is an inexperienced quarterback. I know he's been on the campus for 3 years, but you know, he's only played in two games basically, and maybe a little bit of some others, that it's a lot better to have it happen this year than last year, because it feels like, you know, there's more around the quarterback this year. You might not have the established number two receiver like you had last year with Mike Woods, but it feels like they're deeper at wide receiver. You mentioned they've got two veteran tight ends. They're older and more experienced along the offensive line. They've got I know they had a veteran running back last year in Rakeem Boyd, but you've got one again this year in Traylon Smith. And so for KJ Jefferson, it feels like maybe the pieces are there for him to settle into this a little bit. I know the schedule doesn't necessarily allow for that because you've got Texas there in week two, and that's not to overlook Rice, who I think is a team that's at least capable of maybe giving them a scare. But I mean, it feels to me though, Dudley, like an okay situation for a quarterback to step into, an inexperienced quarterback.
Yeah, and I agree with you that this is much better situation for him this year. I thought it was funny last year, everybody fans were thinking that when they brought Felipe Franks in, that this was, you know, telling KJ that he wasn't going to be good enough. And, you know, they were worried about him transferring out and all that. Well, both KJ and Carl Dippy, again, his high school coach, talked about it. That was one of the greatest things that ever happened for him, because he had and I'm not saying that the previous few quarterbacks weren't helping out KJ, but Felipe really took him under his arm. He was happy to have him in here to learn from him, because he knew that he needed to progress in terms of both physical and mental aspects on the field. And both those guys talked to me a lot about how it was one of the best benefits he could have had, was for Felipe Franks to come in here and get him to be more of a all-around quarterback than just an athlete who was playing quarterback.
And Dudley, I know while we were sitting here, you got a little bit of breaking news that Shamar Easter, the Ashdown tight end, is going to commit to the Razorbacks.
Yeah, it's big for Arkansas. And I think, yeah, he has come up here two times this summer and really has bonded with Coach Pittman and the coaches. An outstanding sophomore tight end that has a plethora of offers that, you know, he could have, and as he continues to get these offers, probably could have gone, you know, just about anywhere in the country. And to go ahead and get him committed, I think, is big. He is Arkansas's first 2024 commitment. They don't have any 2023s yet, but getting him is a really big deal in terms of the recruiting circles for the University of Arkansas.
What is it about Ashdown that produces so many Division One? I mean, is it the paper mill there? I mean, is it something in the air? You think about this. You've got Monteric Brown, who's on campus, Ladarius Bishop, who's on campus, Braylon Bishop, who committed to the Razorback baseball team and just signed with the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's from Ashdown. You go on and on. Jaden Hill, the pitcher at LSU, he's from Ashdown. Something about athletics in Ashdown is really special, it feels like.
Yeah, I think there's three things that really come to mind. Number one, the people of Ashdown and really of that area and a lot of small towns in Arkansas have a work ethic that's unparalleled that has gone into their athletic programs as well as in terms of football. Like Matt Richardson does a great job. He's the high school head coach there, does a great job in bringing those guys along. And it's interesting. Little Rock in Central Arkansas is now going to give Arkansas more football players, but it's been that area down there that has really helped out a lot in terms of putting talent on this football program of what there is.
And it's not just Ashdown. Telvin Agim came from Hope. You've had players here from Nashville. Southwest Arkansas has been an okay spot for them to recruit through the years. And I feel like Ashdown, for its population, probably produces as more Division One players, or as many Division One players, maybe as any other town in the state.
Good kids too, and I think that's been proven. You know, all of them that have come through here, I think that's it's a good trade as well.
On Saturday, the football team will scrimmage for the first time. We're not going to be allowed to watch, but we'll give you every tidbit we can at our website, wholehogsports.com. I know that Sam Pittman is scheduled to speak with us after the scrimmage Saturday. We'll be back with another podcast on Monday, week two of our position analysis as we work our way through the preseason. And then the week after that, we're going to start doing previews of the teams that the Razorbacks will play over the first month of the season. We're lining up interviews right now with some people who cover those teams or who are around those teams. And so we'll bring that to you the week after. We appreciate you listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast that is presented by Bud Anderson Home Services. For Scotty Bordelon and Dudley Dawson, I am Matt Jones. Have a great weekend, everyone.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.